Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2035, with a release date of Friday, October 28th, 2016, follows in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams call CQ on summits from Europe to Australia. A special event station works to feed hungry kids. And a Halloween pumpkin patrol squashes mischief. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2035 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's only independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We open this week's newscast with a special report about a worldwide super activation, an organized two-hour summit-to-summit activity reaching from Europe to Australia and points in between. Here's Newsline's Ed Durant, DD5LP, who is out there himself calling CQ.
October 22nd saw the Summits on the Air Australia to Europe Summit to Summit event. 51 summits across Europe, Australia, New Zealand and Japan were registered by their activators as intending to take part in this two-hour super activation. When 06:30 UTC arrived, with weather varying from freezing cold to pouring with rain in Europe and not a lot better in Australia, the SOTA activators started their calls. Between 6:30 and 8:30 UTC, 73 summits were activated, 22 more than expected. Mother Nature and propagation were variable, to say the least, but contacts were made between continents as well as within each of the regions. At times, the number of active summits made it difficult to find a free frequency on 20 metres to call CQ on. Thanks to Gerard of VK2IO for the following audio clip of my signal crackling through the ether from southern Bavaria to New South Wales, Australia. Unfortunately, no contact was made due to QRM from QRO stations in Europe, who often started up transmissions on top of the QRP SOTA stations.
Victor Kilo 2, India Oscar Portable. VK 2, India Oscar Portable. Any copy, Anna?
The organisers, Andrew, VK 1AD, and Mike, 2E0YYY, declared the event a success, and planning is underway for future Australia to Europe SOTA events, most likely twice a year around the dates that we change the clocks in spring and autumn. A similar event is being discussed between European and North American activators. Once details are confirmed, you'll hear about it here on AR Newsline. In the meantime, check out sota.org.uk to find out about summits on the air. For AR Newsline, this has been Ed Durant, DD5LP, from Bavaria in southern Germany.
In another international event, radio operators in Poland have taken up the cause of starving children through a special event station that's trading QSOs for cash. Here's Newsline's John Williams, VK4JJW.
The hunger and poverty so prevalent among youngsters in southern Asia and sub-Saharan Africa is being felt now as well in the world's amateur radio community, which is raising consciousness as well as funds to help. Organised by Hams for Kids, a project of the Polish Amateur Radio Union PZK, the project will donate 2 cents to UNICEF for every unique QSO with station SN4KIDS. Operating on the HF bands, the station will continue to operate until the 13th of November. The station can also be found on 6 metres. Amateurs have been eagerly making contact, and the organisers have been reporting on their Facebook page that the number of QSOs has been growing. As of the 15th of October, they reported more than 2,000 QSOs, and it's far from over yet. So be listening for SN4 Kids, and know that your contact translates into something more than just QSL cards. Hams are also sending help. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
Hams deal with space weather regularly, but what about everyone else? Yes, there is a plan, or there will be one soon in the U.S. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Mike Askins, KE5CXP.
Federal agencies now have until April to devise a comprehensive plan to predict, detect, and deal with solar flares, and other so-called space weather disturbances that could interfere with the nation's technology. Everything from GPS systems to satellites to the power grid itself. President Barack Obama's October 13 executive order directed Homeland Security, NASA, the Secretary of Defense, and the Secretary of the Interior, among other offices, to find ways to be alert to such occurrences, including geomagnetic storms. The Obama administration has ordered the agencies to find ways to protect or quickly repair the infrastructure consistent with the goal identified in the nation's 2015 National Space Weather Action Plan. The order outlines the implementation of the plan as a coordinated effort among agencies. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
It's that season! And as spooky as Halloween can get sometimes, hams in New York are partnering with state troopers to make sure this late October holiday doesn't turn into a real horror show. As we hear in this report from Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
It's called Pumpkin Patrol because a lot of times there's a lot of mischievous people around on the 30th and 31st of October. It started in 1976 by a young lady. She overheard on her CB that somebody had thrown a rock or something over a bridge that crosses the New York State Thruway. Her and two other friends decided they were going to go and park near three of these bridges down that area, and if they see something suspicious, they were going to call the local authorities.
And so was born the New York Pumpkin Patrol. Al May, WA2KFV, coordinates the ham volunteers for his county. It grew from CBers, and later hams joined in to assist the local police and the New York State Patrol.
It's become organized where it's pretty much statewide covering the New York State Thruway. They work with 20 sheriff departments and over 32 local police agencies. Our group covers central New York area near Syracuse. We cover 19 bridges here, and our purpose is to observe, and if we see something suspicious, then we call into the net control for the ham group, and that person will call the local authorities and have them investigate. I think because we're there that it prevents problems. I've taken over our group here for 2 or 3 years now, and we have not had to report any problems. I believe that just our presence being there is a deterrent.
May says there are several hundred amateur operators who volunteer their time, being extra set of eyes on the thruway bridges.
The troopers and the thruway took over organizing all the people. There's hundreds of bridges that cross the New York State Thruway. It's a big job for them. We feel that we're a very important part of this, giving them a hand. It's been a very successful program.
For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Southeastern Massachusetts Amateur Radio Association, W1AEC repeater, on 147 megahertz in Dartmouth, Massachusetts, Sundays at 8 p.m. This week finds scouts looking forward to more time on the air and looking back on a big radio weekend. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
This week in radio scouting, we have one activation of the K2BSA call sign in North Carolina, and we hear stories from Jamboree on the Air weekend. Brian Alexander, W4BTA, will be the control operator for the Portable 4 station at the Croton Trails Fall Camperee at Camp Sam Hatcher in Newport, North Carolina, the weekend of October 28th through the 30th. Tom Schusler, N5HYP, reports that their activation for JOTA at the National Scouting Museum is a great success. Their heavy social media campaign brought in over 300 visitors from all over the region, including one from 300 miles away. They had HF voice and data, Echolink, IRLP, satellite, a fox hunt, and a Morse code demonstration table. Elliot Liggett, W6EL, spoke with me about his activation in California as K6A.
My name is Elliot Liggett. I am W6EL, and I helped plan and coordinate the Jamboree on the Air event this year for the Verdugo Hills Council. The goal of our event was to get as many scouts on the radio talking to as many other scouts as possible. One aspect that really helped this event be successful is that my son, who's now 9 years old, KM6DGR, he's licensed, and he was able to give an example to the other scouts that they could really relate to. Another aspect that helped to be successful is we got the loaner equipment from ICOM, the brand new IC7300.
Oh, wow.
That was as exciting for us adults as it was for the kids. For attendance, we had 7 Boy Scouts, 28 Cub Scouts, 1 Girl Scout, and a fair number of visitors. There was a Red Cross event next door, and a lot of them came over to see what amateur radio was about. We had an InFed half-wave, which works for 40 meters through 10, and we also had a VHF-UHF dual-band antenna on the top. And we had the All-Star Hub provided by Doug Crompton, WA3DSP. It was very handy. We had over 60 stations connected at the same time, and it enabled a lot of interesting scout-to-scout contact that might not have been otherwise possible. And so in the early mornings, we talked to several scouts in Australia about their favorite animals and favorite activities. It was just very, very interesting to see those kind of contacts taking place. It's always fun to get on amateur radio, but it's even more fun if we can do it and, you know, show someone else what it's about.
I also spoke with Jim Wilson, K5ND, about the progress of post-JOTA reports.
Reports are coming in. Of course, there was a flurry of reports immediately after the event. There's still time. November 1st is the deadline. The week of November 1st, we'll do the drawing for ICOM's ID51HT and 5 ICOM Ham Crew T-shirts, so be sure to get your name into that drawing. We use these reports to compile the results for the event. Let's get as many reports in as we can so that we can tell an accurate story about what's going on for Jamboree on the Air in the USA. So get your report in. November 1st is the deadline.
For more information on K2BSA and radio scouting, please visit www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
Want to work Portugal? It gets even easier if you're on the HF bands on AM starting November 5th. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us more.
It's being called the National Day of AM in Portugal, and whilst it's not quite a national holiday, hams are looking to celebrate a full weekend of amplitude modulation activities in the first weekend of November. This is the sixth year it's been organised by the Portuguese Association of Radio Amateurs, the ARLA, and you don't have to be in Portugal to be part of the festivities. The ARLA is asking all amateurs and shortwave listeners around the world to get on the air on AM in the 80, 40, 20, 10, 6 and 2 metre bands between 0800 UTC on the 5th of November and 1159 UTC on the 6th. There are more chances to make good contacts this year because the event has been expanded to 2 days, a full 48 hours on the air. According to João Costa, CT1FBF, although the 2 days are devoted to proving opportunities, especially for new operators, and encouraging hams with older equipment to get on the air, the effort is also a tribute to shortwave AM broadcasting in Portugal, which no longer takes place. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The Philippines took a battering from recent typhoons, but amateurs are there, even into the recovery process, as we hear from Newsline's Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
In the northern Philippines, Super Typhoon Hema is believed to have ravaged 100% of the homes in Tugu-Garo City, according to officials there. The deadly typhoon, which made landfall on October 20, also affected farms, fishing, and the region's infrastructure. Loss of life was estimated at 13. The Philippine Amateur Radio Association's HeroNet was already active on 40 metres when the storm hit, since it had been put into operation for an earlier typhoon, Sharika, which hit Luzon Island. That storm turned out to be much weaker. As Hema raged, the HeroNet's 130 stations kept everyone apprised of flooding, weather, and power conditions. Amateur radio continues to be active as the recovery efforts get underway, especially with lost power and intermittent phone service. As the Red Cross, Army, Police and others assist in the area, officials indicate that restoration of electricity could take as long as 3 weeks. In addition to amateur response in the hard-hit province of Cagayan, the province of Isabela was welcoming assistance from radio operators from the United Methodist Amateur Radio Club. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
In the world of DX, Francois F6AJL is using the call sign TY5AA from the West African country of Benin until November 30th. Listen for him on HF from 80 to 10 meters. Send QSL cards to his home call. Chaz, NK80, is operating until November 12th in Tanzania as 5H3DX. He's operating on 80 through 15 meters, mainly using CW. For information about QSL cards, visit the QRZ page of 5H3DX. Siggy, DL7DF, is on the Caribbean island of Anguilla with four other German amateurs working as VP2EGR until November 7th. Be listening on 160 meters to 10 meters where they'll operate CW, SSB, RTTY, and PSK31. Send QSL cards to DL7DF. And we close this week's report with this thought. As hams, we're proud to help our community, and even more proud to help fellow hams. What happens, though, when hams come to the aid of a totally different kind of ham? Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us.
This story takes us to the Philippines, where Vladimir Cemento, DW4VLS, seemed on his way to becoming a hero after he'd stopped to aid a bicyclist in distress. The bicyclist had discovered a large closed bag near the embankment of a creek and immediately feared the worst, that inside was the body of yet another victim of an extrajudicial killing. The stench so bad he could barely stand it. When the cyclist flagged down Vladimir, the ham got onto the radio to Alfred Panty, DU4AAP, who, in turn, notified police. Authorities immediately dispatched an inspector to the site, proclaiming it a crime scene and roping it off. The long investigation began. 4 hours later, however, the investigation ended abruptly, just as the municipal health officer, Dr. Elva Josen, arrived and opened the bag. Inside, the doctor found a body in the state of advanced decomposition. The body, that of a pig. With the story having morphed into a tale of barnyard justice gone wrong, authorities concluded this was less a case of homicide than simply hamicide. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4 Bacon Bacon, VK4 Double B.
With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, the Associated Press, Cat and Duanas Tribune, CQ Magazine, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, IARU, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, NBC News, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Polish Amateur Radio Union, Portuguese Association of Radio Amateurs, QRZ, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, The Weather Channel, WhiteHouse.gov, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016. All rights are reserved.